Today's shiur is Masechta Bavasra Daf Nun Hey. We will begin on Daf Nun Dalad Amud Beis, five lines from the bottom. As we discussed at the end of the previous shiur, Shmuel taught us a very bechiddush. Shmuel taught us that if a Akum sells a property to a Jew and receives payment, and the Jewish buyer has not yet received the shtar, a deed for this property, the halacha, he said, was that an interim status is created. What's created now is that the property is hefker. And if another Jew will come and do a maisa chazaka, an act of chazaka on that property, it will become his. So the Gemara, in fact, tells us such a situation, incident. Rav Huna Zovin Aram Oiv Kachavim. Rav Huna bought such a property, Osi Yisrael Acher, and another Jew, before Rav Huna obtained the Shtar Mechira came, and Rafik Bapurta plowed in that property. And as we continue to learn, plowing is certainly a valid act of Chazaka. And Osla Kameid Rav Nachman, this question was brought to Rav Nachman, and Okme B'yadei. And Rav Nachman paskined that it's the Jew who did this chazaka that is considered the owner of the property. Amalei, so Rav Huna said, what is the basis? He said to Rav Nachman, what is the basis of your psak halacha? My daitach, based on what did you pass in that way? Dama Shmuel, because Shmuel taught us the nechsei of the kechavim, harein kamidbar, that as we learned, that a goy, as soon as he gets paid, his property is considered hefker, and therefore the kol machzik behem zocha. Whoever does an act of chazaka becomes the owner of that property. But says Rav Huna to Rav Nachman, if you want to follow the opinion of Shmuel, you have to follow another opinion that we learned in our previous shir that Shmuel taught us. Le'evet mar ke'edach to Shmuel. Why don't you follow the other opinion that Shmuel taught us? Dama Shmuel. Shmuel said, if somebody indeed does a maisa chazaka, a nechse eger, on any property that's hefker, so Shmuel taught us the loikana el mokam mekusha bavad, that if you dig a hole, so only that specific spot that you dug, you become the owner. So if you want to follow the opinion of Shmuel, I'm not that happy about it, says Rav Huna, and you want to say that if somebody else jumped in here and did a maisa chazaka, he becomes the owner of the property. But Shmuel says that a chazaka, you only end up owning what you actually dug, not the entire property. Because as we learned, a machloikus of Rav and Shmuel, Rav's opinion is that if you make one maisa chazaka, it makes you the owner of the entire huge piece of property, versus Shmuel, who says you're only the owner of that little spot. So you want to follow Shmuel's opinion. Okay, I have no choice. But don't you follow Shmuel's opinion that he only becomes the owner of that limited space, not the whole area? Unless Rav Nachman said no. Baha, I'm not kishmatins really. On this, regarding that shaila, I don't pass him like Shmuel. I pass him like Rav. Dama Rav, Huna Rav, as we just quoted Rav's opinion. Kivin shenikish by makish achlet, as soon as you make one hole in the property, kana kula. So we see here a very important halachic principle, that just because you paskin like Shmuel in one shaila doesn't obligate you to paskin like Shmuel in a different subject. Each halachic shaila is viewed independently, and paskin like him in one issue doesn't obligate you to paskin like him regarding another issue. For example, I saw a very interesting halachic discussion by Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein. Many people that put on Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin every day. Question, you know, does Mechloikas how Tefillin should be written, like Rashi Minig, that's the halacha we follow, but there are people that put on Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin. We also know, famous Mechloikas Rabbeinu Tam and the Goinim, when Shki is, when Tzeis Kachavim is. So let's say there's somebody who puts on Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin, and as far as the Goinim are concerned, it's already after Shkia. You can't put on tefillin anymore. But for Rabbeinu Tam, it's still not Shkia. Should you put on Rabbeinu Tam tefillin? He says, of course not. You could say it's the same Rabbeinu Tam. It's the same Rabbeinu Tam that tells you to put on these tefillin, that tells you it's still day, and you're allowed to put on tefillin. The answer is, as our Gemara teaches us, these are two separate halachic discussions. One's a discussion on tefillin. One is a discussion, what is day and what is night, that are not connected with each other. Similarly, in our Gemara, Reb Nachman says, there's a machlokes, there's a concept that Shmuel taught us, that once the guy gets paid, somebody else, and the shtar wasn't written, somebody else could jump in and do the chazaka. That's one statement, one din, Shmuel taught us. Then Shmuel taught us another din, about what is considered a valid act of chazaka. These two questions aren't related, these two subjects aren't related, and I don't have to follow Shmuel's opinion in both positions. I only have to follow one opinion consistently, but that doesn't mean I have to follow that, the one who said that opinion all of the time. Says the Gemara further. Shalach Rav Huna bar Oven. Yisrael Shalach Sodom Avik Chavim. The same din that we've been discussing. Yisrael buys a property from the Akum, and the Akum receives payment. And before the Yisrael receives the shtar, Bo Yisrael Acher VeHechzik Ba, another Jew goes and makes a chazaka. The halacha is Eimetzin Oisa BeYodai. We don't. The second one keeps the property. But the Rishonim make a very interesting observation. We're learning now the same din that we just quoted a moment ago, that Shmuel says that if somebody's machzik, he's zochah. But there's a difference in terminology that the Gemara uses. Here the Gemara uses the words Eimetzinoisimiyodai. And the previous wording Shmuel used was zochah behen. Why does the Gemara change the terminology? So the Rashba asked this question. And the Rashba says, because even though the Gemara is teaching us that Rav Huna bar Oven is following Shmuel's opinion, it's not really identical. Shmuel was absolute in his opinion. He was certain about his opinion. That if somebody goes and grabs the property, he'll become the owner. Rav Huna wasn't 100% certain if we should follow Shmuel's opinion. So what he said was that if somebody is machzik, we don't take it away. But not that he really completely agrees with his opinion. That's the Rashba's pshat. The Chasam Sofer says another pshat. Why did he uses these words of rather than the word zochbehen? Beautiful pshat from the Chasam Sofer. And we actually discussed this in our previous year. The Chasam Sofer says like this. Certainly, it's a double poshet. That if somebody does such an act. I go and I buy a property from a guy, and just I didn't get my shtar, so somebody else grabs it and does a chazaka, it's certainly not something that you really should do. So the Gemara, if the Gemara would have used the word zochben, it would seem that it's 100% acceptable. It's maybe halakhically acceptable, but it's not the way a Jew should act. That's why he uses a lashon, eimetzinas v'yodai. Halakhically he's allowed to keep it, but it's not something that we really approve. Continues the Gemara. The Kain Ali, Rabbi Avin, Rabbi Law, the Kor, Vesenish, Shavim, Bedover. They all agreed with this opinion. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rava. Hani Tlas Mili, Ishtarli Ukfen Bar Nechemya. The following three dinim rules were taught to me by Ukfen Nechemya, Resh Galusa, who was the Resh Galusa, the Shmei Dishmu. One, the subject that we discussed at length in the previous year, Dina Malchusa Dina. The next is Varisosa de Prasoyad Memshnin. Two pshatim that the Rashbam gives us understand. Even though we've been learning, and that's the primary subject of this parak, that a chazaka is achieved in 3 years, and we've also previously learned in our parak that a goy, the din of a 3-year chazaka, doesn't apply to a goy, teaches us the Gemara now, that's the din of 3 years. By a Jew, there's a concept of a chazaka after 3 years. By the guy, there isn't. But what would be the halacha if a guy was on a property for 40 years? So that even though he's a guy, the din of chazaka applies. That's one pshat. Then the Rashbam says another interesting pshat. The Rashbam says what the way to understand the Gemara is as follows. We've been learning an entire perek that how long does it take to achieve a chazaka 3 years? In that country, the government legislated Nah, you can't get a chazaka in 3 years. You have to wait 40 years to get a chazaka. So if a Jew buys a property from another Jew, he won't have a chazaka in 3 years, it'll take 40 years. That's considered that if you didn't protest in 40 years, that means you're not going to protest. 3 years isn't long enough. Rabbi Yoina disagrees with Rashbam's, this pshat at Rashbam. It really touches on a very fundamental question about Dina de Malchusa Dina. Because Rabbi Yoina says that the government has no right to legislate such a rule. If we're learning, anybody who's been learning our perek knows that a chazok is accomplished in 3 years, the government can't say you need 40. That's Rabbi Yoina's pshat. How will the Rashbam understand? The Rashbam will say, because one of the fundamental rules of Dina de Malchusa Dina, even though we're learning Dina Malchusa Dina, we don't follow Dina Malchusa Dina if it is against Torah law. But what does that mean? That means if we have to be Shomer Shabbos, and the government will legislate you have to go to work on Shabbos. You don't say Dina Malchusa Dina, we'll have to go to work on Shabbos. This halacha of Chazaka is not a mandatory law. You can live your life without ever relying on a Chazaka and be a perfect observant Jew. Maybe even better, because as we've been learning, the right thing to do is really have a shtar, not rely on chazaka. And that's why the Rashbam says, Dina de Malchusa Dina can be applied to such a situation. What is the lashon of Arisusa? So I saw a number of pshatim. One pshat is that the girus is not with a samach, it's with a sin. And the word Arisusa with a sin means a chazaka. Another pshat is Arisusa, what's the wording Arisusa to teach us that chazaka is achieved in 40 years? That in that place where they lived, an oris, as soon as somebody was appointed to be an oris for a property, it was a lifetime position. So the Gemara is saying, just like an oris gets this position forever, immediately, when do you get a chazaka that it's yours? 40 years. Another pshat that I saw is as follows. We've been learning, we learned the Mishnah, the Gemara earlier in our parak, that even though typically, somebody gets a chazaka 3 years. But the Gemara says that an oris doesn't have a chazaka. Because you got it legitimately, and that's why the owner didn't protest. But the Gemara's teaching us is that even though an oris doesn't get a chazaka after 3 years, but if an oris is on a property 40 years, even though he's an oris, then he can get a chazaka. Another din that he taught was Vahani Zruri, the Zovan Arla Taxa, Zvina Zvina. That means that if somebody's property is foreclosed because he didn't pay property tax, the person who bought it from the tax officials, it's fine. It becomes his. Two pshatim the word zaruri. One pshat is that the wealthy people who are able to buy foreclosed properties, their purchase is considered halachically valid. Another pshat is zaruri means the tax officials. Zaruri is lashon as horror. They constantly warn the people, if you won't pay your taxes, we're going to foreclose. And if they end up foreclosing and selling it, it's a 100% valid deal. However, says the Gemara, Vahani Mili, Lataska. That's only if it was foreclosed because real estate tax wasn't paid. Avil Karga, if the income tax, the head tax wasn't paid, Loi. Maitama, Karga Kark of the Gavri Monarch. Income tax, there's a lien on the individual, but not on his property. However, Rabbi Hunabar Yeshua disagrees. He says, everything, afilu sar de kadi, if you have a barrel of barley, v'shtab de l'karga, is obligated, is mortgaged to pay your income tax, your head tax. So I saw that the Rishonim ask an obvious question. How could there be a machloikis, what the rule is? Now we could have a machloikis alumdis. We could have a machloikis and din. But how could there be a machloikis, what is mortgaged to your, what property, is your property only mortgaged for property tax, or is your property also mortgaged for income tax? Let's look at what the law is. How could there be a machloikis? The Ramban asked this question. And Ramban says a very important teretz. It helps us understand the entire concept of Dina de Malchusa Dina. He says, why does the Gemara always use the words, the wording, Dina de Malchusa Dina? Why doesn't the Gemara use the words Dina de Malka Dina? Says the Ramban, because if a government, a king, legislated a law, but it isn't well known, then the din of Dina and Machusa Dina doesn't apply. So now we understand the Gemara. Yes, you could check the laws What is mortgaged? What the property is mortgaged to legally? But let's say the law will say that your property is mortgaged to your income tax, but nobody knows about it. It's not Dina de Malchusa. Dina de Malchusa means that everybody in the country is aware of it. And if it's not a well-known law, it's not in the category of Dina de Malchusa Dina. And that was the Shaila. Was this well-known enough? Everybody knew that your property is mortgaged to the property tax obligation. This other law wasn't clear if it was well-known or not. Says the Gemara, Omer of Ashi, if this is indeed the Din, that everybody, even his income tax obligation, puts a mortgage on his property. Amali Huna, Koshba Meimer, Imke Metalta Yerushas Benoi, Davalei Roy, Benamachar Noel Beroik Vemoksik. We know, we're going to learn this more at length later in the Perek, later in the Masech, I mean, that a Bechar gets Pish 9. A Bechar is entitled to a double portion of the Yerusha. However, that double portion that Bechor is entitled to is only in assets that the father has when he passed away. Assets that he's only going to receive after he died, there's no din of Pishnayim. The best example is if the father had receivables. There's no Pishnayim in the receivables. Says the Gemara, ask the Gemara, if every property that a father owns is mortgaged to the government, so then it's not really his. So how do we ever accomplish that a Bechor should get Pishnai? Now the Ramban tells us that this is really not such a big question. Because we'll say that when the Torah says a din of Pishnayim, the Torah was speaking in a place where properties are not mortgaged to taxes. So he says that the question is not such a great question, but that's the Gemara's question. He does try to make the question somewhat of a question. He says as follows. He says, what the Gemara means to ask is as follows. We live in a place where everything is mortgaged to taxes. So if everything is mortgaged to the taxes, that loch ought to be that there should be no din of Pishnayim. And yet we see that the Bechorim do get Pishnayim. How do we reconcile this situation? So ask the Rishonim another question. If we're saying that a property that there's a mortgage, a property that there's a lien on, the Bechor is not entitled to Pishnayim. So, as I've said so many times in our Shiurim, any married Jewish man, his property are mortgaged. His property are mortgaged to his wife, to pay his wife's ksuba. His property may be mortgaged because he dies owing money to Bali Chayiv. So the Gemara ought to ask the Rishonim, that how is the Bechor ever going to get Pishnayim? Isn't his property mortgaged to the ksuba? If he's married, if he has Bali Chayiv, isn't his property mortgaged to the Bali Chayiv? So I saw two answers to this question. One answer is a fairly technical answer. There's a difference in process. How when the government, at least in those times, foreclosed on a property, versus if a property is foreclosed on to pay ksuba or to pay a Bali Chayiv. A government, when they foreclosed, they just came in and took the property. But as we will learn, and we actually have learned, when you foreclose on a property to pay ksuba, when you foreclose on a property to pay a bal chayv, you have to go through a whole process. Achroza, an adrachta, an entire process. So you can't compare the two situations. That's one teretz. Another teretz is different. When the government has a lien on my property, if I don't pay taxes, that lien prevents me from being able to do anything with my property. Their lien comes first. But what would be the halacha? Let's think about the shayla. Let's say somebody dies. Baruch Shem, dying is not Baruch Shem. But he dies a wealthy man. And he leaves over a lot of properties. And his children, before they pay off his debts, or before they pay his wife's ksuba, sell from those properties. But there's still plenty of assets left over to pay those obligations. The sale will be a valid sale. So we see that the mortgage of a ksuba and the mortgage of Bal Chayiv is not as strong as the lien of the government, and therefore they can't be compared. But the Gemara's question therefore now is, in a place where the government, and that was the minig in their place, that the government has the ability to create a lien on all property for taxes, how does Bechor ever get Pishnayim? Answers the Gemara. Amalei, so he says, your question has nothing to do with the question that we're discussing, if income tax or property tax create the mortgage. Even if you say that income tax doesn't create a mortgage, a field tax ganami. Property tax, everybody's agreed, creates a mortgage. So how does a bechor get pishnayim of the property? Elamai yislach lemeima. There's a simple way to answer the question, says the Gemara. The yof taskum mask. When would there be a problem if the father died, and when the father died, he hadn't paid his taxes yet? So that lien prevents the bechor from getting pishnayim. However, our Gemara is referring to Hachanam, the Yof Kargumis. He paid his taxes. There is no lien, and that's why the Bechor is entitled to Pishnayim. So I sort of a Mefarshim ask, isn't this Gemara's question so obvious? Isn't this Gemara's question so obvious that the Gemara's Teretz so obvious that if you pay your taxes, there's no lien, and therefore your Bechor can get Pishnayim? Why didn't the Gemara, what's the Havamin and what's the Maskana? So I saw the answer very nicely. It really, you know, in America they say everybody has to die and pay taxes. That's really what this means. The question is, how do we look at a tax obligation that a person has? Do we look at a tax obligation? Every year I have a tax obligation. I pay my taxes, and then next year I'll have a new obligation. That's the Gemara's Teretz. So once I paid my tax obligation, once this person pays his tax obligation, there is no lien, and the Bechor could get Pishnayim. The Havamina considers that taxes is a lifelong obligation. You always have that obligation on you. It's not like every year it starts again. And therefore, the Gemara says, there's this constant lien that should prevent you from getting Pishnayim. Actually, I saw the Reb Chaim Berlin in a tshuva uses this Gemara to discuss a Hilchos Erev in Shaila. We know that if you want to make an Eruv HaChatzeres around an entire city, entire community, I'm not going to issue what is Rishus Rabbim. You have to get everybody to contribute. You have to get everybody to consent, which is obviously very complicated, especially in the world that we live in, where so many people live in our communities. So what do we do? What we do is we get permission from the government. And our Gemara taught us that the government can have a lien on every property if property tax or maybe even income tax is not paid. And therefore, so they have some sort of an ownership, and getting their consent is adequate without getting the consent of every house's owner. Says the Gemara further, Amar of Ashi, Amar Lihuna ben Nosson, Shaltani l'Safri de Rava, I asked the Seifrim of Rava's home, what is the halacha? Does only property tax create a lien? Or does income tax also create a lien? Vamali, and they told me, Hilchas HaKrav, Huna b'Rei d'Vishua, that even income tax creates a lien. Says the Gemara v'lohi, that's actually not the case. Why did they say it? Hasan look at the milsihu. So this is what the Mefarshim explained to Gemara. They were lawyers. They wrote these documents. So if you could foreclose, not only for property tax, even for income tax, they'll have more business. So it was in their personal interest to say that even income tax could create the lien. But it's not true. Continues the Gemara. Vamar Vashi. Padachsach Messiah Masa. Demiri explains Padachas is a combination of two words. Pur Yaduchta. What is a Pur Yaduchta? Pur Yaduchta means a person who doesn't do anything. Pur Yaduchta means a bed. He stays in bed all day. So now the question is, does he have to contribute to pay the taxes that the city pays? So he says he has to contribute. However, qualifies the Gemara. Vahanimili, that's Losa Masa. Amadaska. Which means as follows. In those days, the two ways that taxes were assessed. Sometimes taxes were assessed on the city. That all the members of the city, the government says that this city has to pay this much tax. So now if there's a person who doesn't go to work, he's an able-bodied person, he doesn't go to work, so the rest of the city is suffering because he doesn't want to work and doesn't want to contribute. So that's what the Gemara says he has to pay. But let's say it's more like in our world where taxes are based on your income. So everybody pays according to what they earn. And therefore, if he doesn't work, he doesn't pay. Although the Rishonim say that even in a case where the taxes are assessed by the city and this person isn't working and the Gemara says that he still has to contribute towards the taxes, he doesn't have to pay the whole tax. He only has to pay half of what he would have to pay if he were working. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yochanan. A meitzer v'achotzev, meitzer we learned is a boundary. Hachotzev, chotzev is a grass. As we're going to learn tomorrow's shir, Mitzvah Shem, chotzev was the grass that was used for making boundaries, typically. Why? Because it's an interesting type of grass. typically when you plant grass, the roots of the grass start spreading out to the right and to the left. Chotzov goes straight down. It doesn't spread to the right and the left, and that's why it's excellent to be used as a boundary. Mechsikin, they could separate and create nichsei ger, that if you have a ger own two properties next to each other, but they're separated by the meitzer or the chotzov, they're considered like two separate properties. Avalinyan pay of a tumah. As far as pay and tumah are concerned, they don't separate one property into two. Kiyosu, Ravan Amar Rabbi Yochanan, a feel of pay of tumah. Even for pay of a tumah, they do separate into two separate properties. So before we go further, no, let's go slow. Pay of mahi, what does it mean that it could separate one area into two properties? The Tanan. A Mishnah says I'm sakta peya. I have one big piece of property. We know one of the matas aniyim is that you have to leave peya. You have to leave a corner of the property for aniyim. So the question is this one property and you have to leave peya once, or is it two properties and you have to leave two peyas? So the Mishnah says I'm sakta peya. Ve'elam afsikon peya. The following things separate one area into two fields for two separate peya obligations. Hanachal. Hanachal is machlok shushar, what it means. Most explain a nachal means a stream. Others say nachal, like the Torah uses the words by the Egel Arufa, means a nachal eson. It's an area that's rocky. Vashlulis is a ditch full of water. V'derech harabim v'derech hayochid. Achloikus v'shoinim, what derech harabim v'derech hayochid means. Rashbam learns, a derech harabim means a road that's 16 amos wide, and a derech hayochid is a road that's 4 amos wide. However, many Rishonim disagree, because the width of the road is not what should be material here. And they say Derech Rabim is a place where many people walk and travel. It's more like a public thoroughfare, versus a Derech Yochid, it's more of a private road. V'shvil HaRabim v'shvil HaYochid, or a private path, or a public path, Bein HaKavur that are there all the time, Bein B'Maisachama Bein G'Maisachama. They separate, for sure. And now the question is, what is the din regarding Meitzer v'chotzov? So let's go one point at a time. Firstly, the Rashbam and many other Rishonim asked the question. If a Derech HaYochid, if a Shvil HaYochid could separate an area into two separate areas for Hilchos Peya, then certainly Shvil HaRabim and a Derech HaRabim. So what does the Mishnah have to say? Derech HaRabim v'Derech HaYochid? Shvil HaRabim v'Shvil HaYochid. You should have said Derech HaYochid, and it would be obvious that the same din applies by Derech HaRabim. Sri Rashbam says that the way to understand the Mishnah is Loizu Afsu. That the Mishnah first tells us a smaller Chiddush and tells us a bigger Chiddush. But then I saw a number of Terutz, other Terutz. One Terutz is that if I would only say Derech HaYochid or Shvil HaYochid, I would think that only if it's by Derech HaYochid, a Shvil HaYochid, to be considered an effective barrier, it has to be Kavua. But if it's a Derech HaRabim, even if it's not Kavua, it could be a barrier. Teaches us the Mishnah that even though it's a Derech HaRabim, even though it's a Shvil HaRabim, it still has to be Kavua. That's one Teretz. Another Teretz that I saw is that perhaps logically we could disagree. Because a Derech HaRabim, since so many people walk on it, it's really not noticeable that it's separating the two fields. Versus a Derech HaYochid, which is much less used, so it's clear that it's a path. When there's so many people walking in it, you can't really notice that it's a path, because it's just like all over the place. And that's why the Mishnah has to teach us both Derech HaRabim and Derech HaYochid. So what is our Gemara teaching us? Let's understand. The Gemara is saying the Mishnah just listed a number of areas that are clearly separate a field into two separate fields as far as Hilchos Peya is concerned. Derech HaRabim, Derech HaYochid, Nachal Shlulis, there's no question. The Gemara is saying there is a machloikis, what would be the halacha by a Meitzer v'Achotzev? One man says that just like it's considered a barrier as far as Hilchos Chazaka are concerned, and therefore doing Chazaka in one area won't be enough for the other area, so will be the din regarding Peya. The other man says no. Peya and Chazaka don't travel together. What's a barrier for Chazaka is not necessarily a barrier for Peya. So the Mefarshim try to understand, why would I treat Peya and Chazaka differently? The Gemara is saying, treat them differently. Why would I treat them differently? So I saw that the Mefarshim explained. There's a much different, much more powerful impact by Chazaka than by Peya. Peya, I have a field. As I said earlier, from every field, we have an obligation to leave Matas and the Impeya. You now want to say that this is not really one field, it's two fields, why should I say it? It's one continuous area. Here, what am I trying to do by Chazaka? Chazaka, I have an area that's not owned by me, and we want to make it mine. That means we're creating an entire new situation. In Halacha, and I've said this concept many times, it's much more complicated to create a new situation than to leave a status quo. And therefore, for Chazaka, something is easier, considered more easily considered a barrier than it is as far as for pay is concerned. Another thing that the Gemara said, it's relevant to pay, tuma, mayi. As we've learned in Masechta Soita, the halach of a soita, that's a woman that's husband, whose husband accuses her, an eshes ish, whose husband accuses her of having an adulterous relationship, the Torah teaches us, we've said this thing here many times, that she's considered a soita, she no longer can have a relationship with her husband until she goes through the soita process. And this becomes the source for the din, that sofik tuma rishas hayachad, if there's a question of tuma rishas hayachad, we treat it tamei, versus sofik tuma rishas harabim is considered tahar. So says the Mishnah, hanichnas labika b'maisa gishamim, if somebody walks into a large area, large field in the winter, where nobody's walking there, because it's the winter, the tumah beside the plainus, and there's tumah in a certain field in this area. Rama alachti lamakam alas, I walked into this area. Veni yedei im nechnasti lamoisa makam imlav. But I don't know if I walked into the area where there are graves. Rabbi Leza metahar, the chum metahamin. Rabbi Leza says that the person is tar, and the chum says he's tum. And the Gemara explains itself. Shai Rabbi Leza oimer, sofik bi tar, sofik magatame. Sofik magatum atame, which means as follows. This is the way the Rashbam explains the Gemara. The halach is, if somebody walks into a cemetery, if somebody walks into a cemetery, which is a private area, the halach of sofik tum b'rishus hayochid kicks in, and he's tame. Here, we have a big area that's separated by one of these things, meitzer, chotzef. So, according to Rabbi Elazar, we have a sex faker. Sofik, did you walk into the area where there's the grave, or did you walk into another area? Vim tim tzulayme, even if you walked into the area that where is a grave, who says you touched the grave? And therefore, Rabbi Elazar says you tar. The Chachamim, however, do not agree that a meitzer of chotzef separate these areas. So you only have one sofik. Did you touch the grave or not? Sofik tam b'shus hayachid is tamei. That's how the Rashbam explains. So the question, Rabbi Elazar holding tamei, Rabbi Elazar holding tar, and the Rabbanan saying tamei, is based on the fundamental issue, is a meitzer mafsik or not? That's how we're going to learn the Gemara. It is important to quote the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam that says that everybody will agree that this is a sfek sfeika. Everybody agrees that it's a sfek sfeika, that it's a double sofik, because the meitzer v'chotzef separate this into separate areas. So what is the machloikis between Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim? It goes back to what I said earlier. I said a moment ago that sofik tumah b'rishus hayochid is tameh. The machloikis according to Rabbeinu Tam between Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim is as follows. When does the din of sofik tumah b'rishus hayochid apply? Does the din of sofik tumah b'rishus hayochid apply whether there's a sofik or even if there's a sfek sfeika? And that's why according to Chachamim, yes, you have your sfek sfeika. But the din of sofik tumah b'rishus hayochid is tamei is not only said by one sofik, it's even said by a sfek sfeika. Whereas Rabbi Elazar says, no, the Torah taught us sofik tumah b'rishus hayochid is tamei. But where did the Torah teach us that din? Only when you have one sofik. But if you have two sfeikas, the din of sofik tumah b'rishus hayochid doesn't apply, and that's why you'll be tar. According to that explanation, everybody will agree that the meitzer v'chotzef separate the areas, and that's why we have here a sfek sfeika.
sovereignty.